Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett, the AAA affiliate for the Atlanta Braves. First pitch is at 6:05. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Adam Vingan, Willie Donna, Connor Newt here with you from Five Iron Golf in Midtown. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Hi, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you?
We're doing well. So, Chad, let's start with the story that the NFL and sporting world cannot get enough of. Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini being photographed at a couples resort in Arizona, in a pool, hugging, holding hands, all of those things. This story has taken on a life of its own. I know that you and Hutton have had fun with it as well on your show. So look into your crystal ball, Chad. How do you think this ultimately plays out for Vrabel and Russini individually?
Well, first off, I don't know about you guys, but every platonic relationship I've ever been in, the woman will put her hands on my love handles like that was in the photo with Russini and Mike Vrabel. I'm getting an echo. Are you guys hearing that, or are you good?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I experienced this yesterday, Chad. There is a little delay on your end, I think. There is a little echo. We can hear you fine, though.
Okay. All right. I got you. Yeah. So what's going to happen with both of them? Unfortunately, this is part of the double standard in sports. You know, Mike Vrabel wins football games in the NFL, so he's going to be fine. I mean, personally and in his marriage, I don't know how that's going to go or how that explanation is going to go about that two-hour drive over to Sedona from a guy's golf trip to go hang out with Diana Russini, but from a football standpoint, he's going to be fine. Guys, Diana Russini, I mean, I think she's done as a credible reporter. I mean, we saw it with her first trial balloon she floated out with an actual NFL report and all the responses from everyone about it, and it was crushing her. And I know that social media isn't real life, and it's often nastier than real life, but if that's any indication, I just think she's going to have a hard time being a credible reporter from here on out. Maybe she'll be fine. Maybe she'll go, you know, host a podcast and have a lot of success, but I think her days as New York Times employed big-time football journalist are probably over with those photos.
Let me ask you, Chad, about the mass exodus of Lady Vols players from the program. And I read an interesting column from John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And he had a friend who theorized that Danny White is keeping Kim Caldwell around because of the entertainment value. This friend said, quote, "He knows she's a train wreck and has already thought of ways he could benefit financially from the increased interest in the team. He can sell the rights to HBO for a behind-the-scenes look," end quote. Then Adams also suggested that the Lady Vols hold open tryouts, pick five players from that open tryout, and then sell them NIL, all of that stuff. So let me ask you this question. Do you think there's a way that Tennessee can sort of take advantage of this attention? Because, look, so all, you know, good, you know, what was it? What's it? Bad publicity is still publicity. I can't remember what the saying is. But this is the most attention this program has gotten in quite a long time. Is there a way that Tennessee can take advantage of this bad publicity?
There's no such thing as bad publicity, I think, is the old adage, right?
Yes, that's the saying I was looking for. Yes.
First off, every scenario you brought up is absolutely hilarious in every way. And as I feel I fashion myself as a master showman, I would love to see something like that. I'm sure that Danny White might be as well. But, guys, I don't buy any of that he's keeping her around for the sideshow or anything else. I think it's pride. You know, I think Danny White, this was one of his big hires recently, and she had a good first season and a train wreck of a second season that's been an even worse train wreck in the off season after year number two. So what does that mean for her future? I don't know. I think Danny White's having a hard time admitting a mistake. He doesn't want to. He did an interview with about a month left in the season where he went over the top and said, "Oh, I've got more confidence in Kim Caldwell today than I ever have in my life, ever being around her." And then everyone was rolling their eyes thinking, "What?" And this was in the midst of that, whatever it was, 8-9 game losing streak to end the season. So it's sad because it's such a proud program. Now, on the flip side of this, I see a lot of Tennessee fans freaking out about the loss of this roster. Guys, this roster was not good. They were 16 and 15. They fell apart internally. They didn't always play hard. They had malcontents in the locker room. Now, is that a Kim Caldwell problem? Yeah, it's definitely a Kim Caldwell problem. Is she the biggest part of the problem with that team? Maybe. I don't know. But for those crying crocodile tears over all the players exiting Tennessee's roster, I'm thinking, good riddance. Go get 10 new players. And that's what they're about to do. I think that would be – I mean, the floor has been set pretty low for a program that never misses the NCAA tournament to nearly miss it this year. So I think there's a lot of – there could be a lot of positivity with the new players under Kim Caldwell. But do I have a lot of faith in her that long-term it's going to work? Absolutely not. But does a completely new, fresh roster this season help Tennessee for more success? Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility.
Chad Withrow is with us, and Chad, we were trying to give our take on it. You'll have a better perspective than we will on this question. Why do you think that the Lady Vols program itself is down a notch? I mean, I'm not trying to compare it to Pat Summitt in the peak. That's hard to top. I mean, they're going to sink a little bit. But why do you think it's moved down a level from the top level in the last, say, 5 to 10 years?
You know, Willie, I just think it's coaching. I mean, I think when you try to get the lieutenant or the apprentice or the legend or the great coach, it oftentimes doesn't work out. And I mean, that's been the history of Tennessee Lady Vols basketball since Pat Summitt. They tried Holly Worley. It worked a little bit, but not enough. Then they go to Kelly Harper, who's another former Pat Summitt, and says, okay, that didn't work either. Now it's completely outside the box, young hire, made her way up through West Virginia high school and college hoops to Marshall to Tennessee, and through year two, that's not working. And the sideshow of all this that you continue to get about the program is when Tony Vitello left, if you remember, there are a lot of Tennessee fans that blame Danny White for putting too much emphasis on women's basketball, that there was some dispute about the Lady Vols basketball team getting more money in NIL than the baseball team, or that they were taking away some of the baseball NIL. And Tony Vitello was not happy about what they could pay players because the women's basketball program was getting more. And then Holly Rowe puts out that tweet about, you know, shame on Danny White for letting this program spiral or whatever that was, and she deletes it. And I saw she did an interview, and she said, well, the reason I deleted it was because everybody responding, it became an issue over money allocation and how, you know, the whether or not they were getting enough money for players and everything else. So I do think, Willie, that there is a broader debate discussion to have about women's basketball, how much money it loses, even baseball, how much money it loses, how much money are you going to allocate to that versus a sport that makes money in football and the sport that oftentimes make money in men's basketball. That's really a question for every single athletic department and every university across the country. And I think we're at a real crossroads right now of Lady Vols basketball. I think they should invest in that program. I think they can get great players. The history is there. The standard set by Pat Summitt is there. It's just how much are you going to take away from other sports to fund a great women's basketball program? And I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I think that's a great point. I would imagine a similar discussion is being had in every major conference that wants to have a well-rounded athletic program, because I think it's a fair point on both sides. I mean, football is the bell cow. But you want to make you have to invest in your other programs if you want to win. So on that note, Chad, how do you evaluate Danny White after, I'm trying to remember how many years now, what, 6 or 8 years he's been there now? What, how do you think he's done?
Well, I think Josh Heupel's floating him right now. I think that was a good hire. It's worked out well. I think the guy's a good fundraiser. He's a good accountant of the program. And he's got good ideas about other ways to drive revenue. He's not a personable guy. You know, that there's kind of a weird personality there where he doesn't even really talk to coaches or deal with them. It's a strange setup in that athletic department. And look, strange can be good. If you're getting great results, then no one's going to complain about it. But I think when you don't have a great relationship with Tony Vitello and he bolts, granted it's for a major league job, he may have bolted if the AD was his best friend. You know, I don't know that that's Danny White's fault that he got that opportunity left, but I don't think Danny White being there helped Tony Vitello at all with his leaving. And if other things start to fall apart, then it's going to go downhill quickly for Danny White. So if I'm asked to give an evaluation right now, I'd say B-, C-plus, because I think he inherited a great baseball coach and they won a national title. He hired a great football coach. So far, he is 0-for-1 in women's basketball hiring a coach. Let's go ahead and say it. So far, he's 0-for-1 in hiring a baseball coach because the team can't make it out inning 7 and beyond. That doesn't look good. So, yeah, it's a B-, C-plus right now, but that grade could go down a letter grade quickly.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, we've kind of asked you about the mass exodus of the Lady Vols team, but I want to flip it around and ask you about the men's team. Maybe not as much of a mass exodus as the Lady Vols are suffering, but there is some departure there, and one of them that was announced yesterday was J.P. Estrella flipping over to the defending national champions in Michigan. I've seen a lot of discourse across the interwebs on that move. A lot of Tennessee fans saying he wasn't as valuable as his portal values making him out to be. I'm curious of your thoughts. What do you think of J.P. Estrella moving on from Tennessee and over to Michigan?
I think it's easy to rationalize the exit and say, well, he just averaged 10 points a game and 6 rebounds, and he was hurt often, and he was hurt the year before, and he got hurt in this season. And then he goes to Michigan, and it's a real stab in the heart because Michigan's not bringing in bad players. I think we saw that this past year, especially when it comes to big guys. So, yeah, that hurts with J.P. Estrella and Tennessee losing by 30 to Michigan in the Elite Eight and going there. Here's what I think about Rick Barnes and the program and that last year's team. I think deep down he didn't love that team. And I know that sounds crazy for a team that made it to the Elite Eight, that went on a run in the NCAA tournament. But, guys, they couldn't hit a shot when they needed to. And that happened time and time again. They were not a good free throw shooting team. They turned the ball over way too much. So when Bishop Boswell or Jalen Carey or even J.P. Estrella comes to Rick Barnes and says, I need a raise because this is what my agent tells me my value is on the open market, I do think Rick Barnes said, enjoy the open market. Because if I'm going to overspend or spend a lot of money, I'm going to spend it on a guy who can hit a free throw. I'm going to spend it on a guy who can shoot threes. And their first addition is just that. Tyler Lundblade from Belmont, 87% free throw shooter, shot nearly 50% from three a year ago, 40% this past year, over 40%. Great shooter. I think they're going to add more shooting in the portal. They still need a rim protector. They definitely need a big guy. They got to go get a point guard also. But I think Rick Barnes just made a calculated decision to say, you know, I can build culture in an offseason. I don't need a ton of guys sticking around for that culture to stay here. I'm the culture. I'm going to set it. And I'm going to go spend big money in the portal on some guys that can come in here and score the basketball. And I think that's exactly what Tennessee's about to do.
Chad, let me flip things over to the gridiron here for just a second. Obviously, we're a little bit of a ways away from college football, but there is some stories coming out of Tennessee. One most notably being a portal guy they just brought in from Penn State and Chaz Coleman on the defensive end. He has not been going to practice, and I've seen rumors as to why. He's a little homesick, I think I've read, but I want your overall opinion on that situation. Is that a missed swing in the portal for Tennessee if he doesn't pan out the way they expect him to?
Yes, a huge one, and I hope Tennessee gets all their money back, if so. I don't know what the contract looks like, but guys, I mean, this is professional sports, and I'm not trying to be flippant about mental health or any of that. If the kid's having a mental health breakdown and he needs to go home, go home, but give your check back over to Tennessee because you did not fulfill the check, so you're not going to make that money. That's how it works in pro sports. That's how it works in every walk of life. I hope the kid gets the help he needs. If he needs to go back home, he can. That's fine. But Tennessee needs to get that money so they can use that on another transfer at another time because this is the way college sports works right now. You know, I'm being told it's not a Boo Carter situation. He's not a problem in the locker room. He's not divisive. He's not pulling players against the coaches or anything like that the way Boo Carter was. But he's just a no-show at this point. And if that's the case, yeah, I mean, it's a big swing and a miss, and it's one that you really couldn't factor if you were Tennessee. So I don't really blame Josh Heupel for it or anything, but it's certainly disappointing. But again, if he's homesick, go home and give the money back. That would be my one addendum to that, and that's for any program or any player. You don't get to keep the money or any of it if you show up for 2 weeks of spring practice and you can't show up to work.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donicky joins us every Friday. Chad, as always, wonderful stuff. We'll catch up next week.
If you paid Willie Donick with his shooting ability, the money that these kids make, I guarantee you he'd be showing up to practice. That's all that I'll say. I'll leave you that. He'd be there every day ready to go to work. Right, Willie?
Well, I did show up every day. I don't know if I played well every day, but I did show up, and I wasn't getting any extra NIL at that point. I mean, I don't want to make – I don't know anything about this situation. If the kid needs help, then I think there are ways you can get help, right, while staying on campus and going through the proper – but if you just say you're homesick, that's – I mean, I had the high school girlfriend. I was a little homesick, you know, when I first got to campus. You know, you got to adjust.
Yeah, look, if the kid's having some sort of issue, yeah, get him help. Help him all you can. Maybe he can come back in fall camp and be ready to play. If he just wants to go home and is throwing a fit and not showing up to practice because he wants to go home, go home. Give the check back. That's all I'm saying. Go home.
Exactly.
That's going to help you, but you don't get paid also on top of it. Guys, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Chad. 615-737-1025. Did you do the turkey dump with your high school girlfriend? You go the way to, you know, you stay with the girlfriend.
I got dumped.
Oh, okay. So you were the turkey dumpee.
It probably was for the best. It was probably
for the best. You were the turkey dumpee because what happens is you go away to college. You don't come back for the first time until Thanksgiving. And that's when you dump the high school boyfriend or girlfriend. So you were the turkey dumpee.
That was the dumpee.
Oh. Do you speak from
experience? I was the turkey. I was the turkey. But, you know. As they say, as my college, one of my assistant coaches said, hey, Willie, you're all right, man. Don't bring sand to the beach. Plenty of sand already here.
Life lessons from Willie Donick. 615-737-1025. Let's get back into the Predators. They lost 4-1 last night to Utah to wrap up a successful road trip, although they are not in a playoff spot right now, but they did get 4 points. They got four, you know, points in 4 out of 5 games, excuse me. But I do want to talk about something that does get Willie Donick's blood boiling. We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 teed up with us at the 5th annual 615 Open, May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com.